I think my mom has a message to share. No, I'm done. But I need some light.
Good morning. We have a bit of a joyful report today, and I'm so very thankful. Let me back up just a little bit. As you know, we brought Jim home from the hospital Monday about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was extremely weak, couldn't walk without full support of a walker, and it was a little bit scary, to be honest with you. I was hoping I could handle him. I've had to give shots for the first time in my life. And every day, he has shown huge improvement in his body. And yesterday, we had a breakthrough in his mind. We really did. We got up and did our normal morning routine, getting him dressed and feeding him and giving him his medicine and shot. And he sat down and he said, "Well, I've been doing it all wrong." And I said, "What?" He said, "The way I've been walking, it's not right." And I'd been trying to coach him on how to do it with his right leg that is still very swollen and his foot is still very swollen. But the only thing that will heal it is exercise, and it hurts. So I'd been trying to, you know, coach him along, and he said, "Well, the way I just grab my walker and take off running on my tiptoes, it's not helping." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for that breakthrough." He said, "I think I need to go much slower and put my heel and then my toe, my heel and then my toe," which of course will stretch the calf muscle so that he can put his foot down flat. Well, guess what he's doing now? He's hardly using the walker at all now. In one day, the mindset changed, the body followed, and today he said, "I'd really like to go to church. I'd love to put on my shirt and tie." And I said, "Well, shoes might be a problem because he can't wear any shoes yet, but he realizes it's not quite time." But we're so thankful for that breakthrough yesterday. And last night he said, "Do you think it would be okay if I cooked breakfast tomorrow?" I'm serious. If you saw him Monday and he's asking yesterday evening if he could cook breakfast, that's just enormously huge progress. And it scared me a little bit, and I said, "Well, I still do have oat bran in the refrigerator," and I thought you would eat the oat bran and I would just eat a yogurt for breakfast in the morning. And he said, "Okay." And so we went through the evening, and he stayed up late. He stayed up till like 9:15 watching a show on TV that he likes downstairs in his chair. And actually, he rotated chairs. He kept moving around. Every time I looked at him, he was in a different chair. So he's becoming much more mobile, much more thinking normally. And I went to bed, and I thought, "Lord, maybe cooking breakfast would be a great thing for him to do." So I got up this morning, and I went in, and I said, "You know, I've been thinking about breakfast. I'm kind of hungry. What if you do go ahead and make the oatmeal, but I'll get everything out and put it on the counter for you so you don't have to bend over and pick things up and reach, and, you know, it'll be a little more stable." And he said, "Oh, that'll work." He cooked the oatmeal. He measured it out perfectly, knew exactly what to do. And he got it all ready, and he said, "Well, could I ask you to serve it?" I said, "Yes, of course." So I served him the oatmeal. And while we're getting ready for church, as you probably already have heard us tell many, many times, we always have the Jimmy Swaggart program on television. Well, they have a harmonica player. I don't know, did anyone see it this morning? Nope. Okay, Daddy did. They have a phenomenal harmonica player on their program. And it was Randy Knapp singing with this harmonica player playing around him and in the background. And so I brought his medicine over, and he's sitting watching this. And I got a shot ready to give him the shot, and he said, "You know, I bet there's not very many people around getting belly shots watching I'll Fly Away." And it struck me so funny. We had talked yesterday about how important the entrance of the word is and how important laughter is to recuperation. And I tried to play him some things that were funny and tell him stories that were funny, and he popped out with that this morning, and I cracked up. I really did. It was so unlike him, number one, but to say, you know, I doubt there's a lot of people getting belly shots watching I'll Fly Away, just really cracked me up. So this is the message that he asked me to read to you today in regard to the message that we're going to play today. These are his words, word for word. The message I picked out to replay for today's service is the same message I preached the week after Jan and Matt's daughter Jessica was killed and left little Ellie severely injured with brain damage. Thank God for his mercy and for healing Ellie. She is still struggling in some areas, like with speech, but she's thriving. The emphasis this week is on our dependence upon the Lord and our need for his involvement in every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God gives us life. We need everything that we can get, every crumb, every bit of intervention. And that ties into this message that we're going to play today, Somebody Bigger Than You and I. I'm trying to eat as much as I can, and I'm practicing walking to stretch my muscles, but right now I'm sore from the insertion of the port. He had to have a port put in on Friday. I would like to thank everyone so much for your prayers, for your help in providing the wonderful food, which he ate like a pig this week. He ate everything everybody brought and sent, and I just cannot thank you enough for your love and support in that way. He ate so well. I'm so thankful. And most of all, for carrying the weights of the church. I love you and I miss you, and I can't wait to see you soon. And that's the message. So with that, Don, if you want to get it queued up, we're ready. And by the way, he listened to every word of this. At times, focus is still a little bit hard for him, but he found it, and I'm making him do as much as possible for that very reason, on his own and by himself. And he found it on the internet, he pulled it up, he listened to it, and this is the one he picked out.
Debbie, and I appreciate our former president having enough love for someone he cared about to share Jesus Christ as Savior and an opportunity to know him as Lord. Over the last few weeks, we've suffered different losses. Wade Anthony was an older man. Jessica and Frankie were young people. And there's no way that you can even fathom that here's people lively and active and then they're gone. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ died that we live so that we can live forever. But we do have to make that, we do have to say those words of acceptance to him. I've been sharing in church and all everywhere I've gone. It's so easy to get saved. All you have to do is acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord and ask Him to forgive your sins, and you're saved. How easy is that? And I want everybody. It's almost like, you know, we'll share health advice in a snap. But this advice is more than health advice. This is eternity in the balance advice. If you'll turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 29. I was going to entitle this message, What Has God Done Lately? But I felt like that might be a little antagonistic toward God. And I do not want, at this point in my life, forever to be antagonistic toward God. I want you to know that God has been doing supernatural, almighty things ever since this world was created. So I'm going to title this sermon, Somebody Bigger Than You and I. There might be a song at the end, and I'm not going to sing it, so that's probably a benefit. But the Word says in Proverbs 8:29, Debbie read this a few weeks ago or months ago, that when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress His command, and when He marked out the foundation of the earth. And I realize this is kind of a part of a whole story. The whole story is talking about the wisdom. When God did all these things, wisdom was there with Him. God is all wisdom. God is all love. God is all understanding. There was something I saw that said, there's never a moment when God is not in control. Relax. He's got you covered. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Help the Word today to strengthen us and to touch us. Lord, we need encouragement. We need blessing. We need something that's greater than us. In so many ways, we're fluff. We're here for a while and we're gone. But Lord, You are eternal. And Your hand is upon everything that happens. And I pray, Lord, that You'll let us understand that Your hand is upon our lives to order every step and every day. And that all that happens, You're with us. And You'll minister Your greatness and Your glory. I pray Your spiritual touch as Your Word goes forth, an anointing that breaks every yoke and bondage. Lord, you sent Your Word and healed us. As we speak these words, this is Your Word. Let there be healing and restoration and strength for Your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of songs that really speak to me during of this sermon. Somebody Bigger Than You and I is one. I looked the other last night probably, and saw the one that's my tribute, Andre Crouch song, sang by a Norwegian singer that was very pretty. But to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He saved me, and that's about as far as I can go. With His power. And I can't remember all of those words, and I didn't have the good sense to write them down. But I want us to understand that through the Scripture and through the Word today, that God is behind the scenes. Sometimes we look around and we think, where's God? Where's God? People are doing crazy things and hurting each other. Where's God? God is where He's always been, on the throne and controlling everything. If it weren't for the ugliness of the will of man, this earth would be a perfect place. But because, you know, people say, well, why did this happen and why did that happen? It happened because we have willful individuals that do the wrong thing continuously. And they try to substitute themselves for God. Well, I can make the decision and I'll do it my way. And the way of humans is a way of death and destruction. In the book of Isaiah 40, turn there because we're going to read a number of scripture. Isaiah 40, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, unless I say differently, and generally I don't. chapter 40, verse 18, we're very familiar with the last couple, three verses, but this really ministered to me as I was thinking about the greatness of God. And it starts out with verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? We get in trouble when we say, well, God, this person or that thing reminds me of God. And I've told you of my disgust for Robert Blake and his calling God Louis. God is not to be personalized as he is our servant or someone that's at our beck and command. Is that right? Beck and call, I guess. God is beyond everything we can imagine. There is nothing in this world that God can be compared to or likened unto. Verse 19 says, the workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. The silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? I love it when God says this. Have you not known? Speaking to Israel, Judah, who should have known. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth? We need to understand that man will worship something. Man will worship something. Scripture says we cannot serve two gods. We'll either serve God or mammon. We will serve God or Satan or human beings, and all of that is worshiping the wrong thing. And it's putting our faith and our confidence in something that will fail us, that will not take us through eternity with the Lord. I'll continue with verse 22. I got to read it again where it says, have you not known and have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood? From the foundation of the earth, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretches, this is another part of the sentence, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. All the vastness. My electrician, every time I talk to him, he says, I think there's many different universes and God's got people in other planets. I said, I don't think so. I think this is all because God wanted us to understand that he is bigger than any little thing we understand, think we comprehend. People get so smart, they think they can replace God. Oh, I don't know. I don't even have a glimpse into what some people know about science and math and oh, there's great complicated things and they're smart people. But none of that intelligence and none of that they know is going to translate into replacing God. So he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted and scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth when he will blow on them and they will wither and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. And we need to understand that in the relationship of all that are powerful and have authority, God is still over all. We read something from Ronald Reagan, who was a president of this country, at a time that we had more civil, relationships between Democrats and Republicans. And the reason is because way back, Democrats and Republicans had the same morals. They disagreed on ways to do things. But it's changed now. The dynamic is different. So pray for our president and our leaders, and pray that truth of God rules and not people trying to put things before God. God has an agenda, and the devil does too. And we need to be on the right side of that. In verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes on high. And he who has created these things, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, he calls them all by name. All of that bigness that we wonder, well, something else is out there. God knows everything about it. He knows their name. He knows everything about them. He calls them by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob? And this is the tendency of man. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, God doesn't see what I do. I can get away with anything. And where's God when I need him? Why isn't there some justice? The scripture says, have you not known? There it goes again. Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding. I may not be the smartest guy in the world, but I know the one who is the smartest. I know the one who has understanding that's beyond ours. Everything that men know, everything that men know and have learned, God created it. Before there were all of these formulas in both chemistry and science and physics and all of these laws, God knew it because he created it. And just because we know a bit of what the Creator knows doesn't mean that we're him. So he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Sometimes we come to that. We've had a busy few weeks, and it's easy to get worn out. It's easy after a long sickness or, you know, a lot of things going. It's easy for us just to say, I'm done in. But when we come to that point, when we feel like we have no strength left, and even the youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why I prayed in the beginning of this message for God to renew your strength. For God, while we say these words, while we read what God, who God is and what he can do, that you receive the strength. That you receive the strength. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I saw a bird the other day. Where was I? It was somewhere around, I was on San Tomas Expressway coming towards Bud Avenue. We're going home. And I saw this bird, and it wasn't an eagle, but it was a hawk or something. I said, that's not a blackbird or a pigeon or a duck. That's a powerful animal, a bird of prey. But the eagle is, in my mind, the best. Now, there may be some that are more fierce than an eagle and more eagle-eyed or whatever, but wow, I think that's a pretty amazing thing. Mount up with wings as an eagle. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Why is that we have such supernatural strength? It's because we're connected with the Lord, who knows all things, who has all powers. Now, I want to go quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 22. I know we have a lot of scripture today, but I really see a benefit of the Word of God in our spirits. I like this one a lot. I have a calendar at home that's a Thomas Kincaid calendar. And you know what? It didn't even tell me when fall started. I had to Google it. That's aggravating. The calendar should say some things. And when fall begins, when autumn starts. So autumn started yesterday at 6:54 p.m. our time, the 22nd. But verse 22 in chapter 8 of Genesis says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. This is a covenant that God made with Noah. The earth had been destroyed, and God said, okay, I'm going to keep things going. Isn't God good at keeping day and night going? I mean, it changes a little bit of when darkness starts and when the sun comes up. And it sometimes is cold and sometimes it's hot. But God said it would be. You say you got to be careful. You're kind of teaching against climate change. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Climate is all about change. I was in Texas, and they tell you right off the bat, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, it'll change. And boy, did it change. We had a day one time in February that was 96 degrees. Within a week, it was snowing. So, yeah, climate does change. But what God said was, I'm going to keep this thing regular. What God says is, I'm the creator of this earth. And it's going to go just like I planned it. And the way that I created it. And don't worry your pretty little heads over these things. And I read earlier that the seas were in their boundaries, the seashore. People are so worried that the Arctic or Antarctic caps are going to melt and we're going to be overrun with water. There's a cute little song that says, oceanfront property in Arizona, thinking that California is going to fall off into the ocean. If God judged California that way, I would have to be one that says, he's right. How many understands what I'm saying? He's right. He's right to do that. But we had a storm last weekend, and the ocean and all of the water flooded North Carolina, South Carolina, maybe some other areas as well. And you say, well, why did the water outrun its boundaries? Because it was a hurricane. And we are not promised we're not going to have storms, but we are promised that God's going to hold this thing together and to keep his hand upon it all. He is in control. He is in control. So you know, my stupid calendar won't tell me this, but December the 21st at 2:23 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because time is changing in November, we're going to start winter. So it's officially fall or autumn now. I want to look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. I love this. I love Psalms because it tells us that God cares about our lives. And he wants to be a part of our lives. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Psalms that he wants to order our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so the Lord is with us. People want to think that they're independent, they can get by without God. They will have not one more breath unless the giver of life allows that to happen. The Psalm says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the fields, and the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. Isn't it amazing? His name is to be praised because he has the world in his hand. And we can have confidence that he will keep his end up. And we need to focus on our end. And I think our end has a lot more to do with giving him praise and honor and seek his face and his will for our lives. In the book of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. And the verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 139, 13 and 14, for you have formed my inward parts. When we go to God for healing, he knows about us. When I take my car to be serviced, I go to the Ford dealer because it's a Ford. If it were something else, I'd want to go there because I want to get a good job. Now, there are some mechanics that know everything about everything. But right now, I'm going to where the guys that made it are responsible. God knows about you and your body and the workings of your body because he made you. For you have formed my inward parts and you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. Verses 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. This sounds like a song, doesn't it? Can you hear the tune in your head? Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I have read these scriptures, and I've told you the problem with too many people today is they want to insert themselves where God is. I hear people say, act like they know something about God, and they some way or another have a bit more control of their own lives than God does, and I think, what a waste of human life, of someone that won't give the glory and the honor to God. Because, folks, if we're going to go that next place of glory and of honor and of praise and of eternity, we better give God the right acknowledgement and praise and worship him. There are three things that rage large in our country today, and every one of them is where God is being pushed away and people are doing it our way. One is abortion, and I'm not going to stay long on this, but I do want to say this. When God says thou shalt not kill, he means that. And when people step in and say, it's inconvenient, I'll do what I want to do, God's going to judge that. God is the one that has power of life and death. When man steps in, he does break the word of God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't care what men thinks, and I don't care what they get, you know, what's politically correct. But I'm going to tell you this, there's going to be a lot of people stand before God, and God's going to say, my word says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling unto his wife. And that God created marriage for a man and a woman. And the last thing that I want to deal with, and I mentioned it, is in the environment and climate change. Years ago, 30 years ago, people said we only had 10 more years to live and the oceans would have been destroyed. You remember when that big oil spill happened in Louisiana? And they said, oh, we're doomed. We'll never see another fish in that area or whatever. It wasn't very long at all before this was back. And some people even said that it came back a little stronger than it was before with the balance there. I'm not a proponent of dirtying water, spilling oil, or any of that stuff. But I want to tell you something. God created this heaven and earth, and he has his hand upon it, and he's not letting anything go. He will keep his hand upon it. This week is, and that, so that's the three things where man thinks we're smarter than God, and they're not smarter than God. We need to let God be in control. I saw something, I don't know necessarily where it came from. That's probably something I need to be more aware of. But on Facebook, there was a Mexican gentleman, Hispanic gentleman, that came in dressed as a bum. How many saw this? And then he went in and he started to sing. He come in as not a bum, not only a bum, but drunk. And then he got up and he sang with a, a strong operatic voice. And I believe that much of what he's saying probably doesn't translate into English perfectly, but this is what they translated. I have seen fire and earthquakes, strong winds that blew on me. I have lived so many dangers, but your voice calmed me. You gave orders to the stars, and on the sea, you put your limits. I feel so secured in your hands, Almighty. There are no bolts or gates that do not close in front of your voice. And the storm subsides, and the voice of him who created all, for your word is pure, a shield to those who believe in him. And then I thought, well, I was already thinking about this text, and I thought, that's good. That's good. I thought the way the guy handled it, it was a surprise to see him sing in such a way. There have been many people who have used that kind of a, I guess, kind of an element of surprise to minister, and I'm open to whatever that blesses the name of the Lord. People really did get behind his singing, and they got involved in the service. In my research for this message, I've checked out a song, Somebody Bigger Than You and I. I've listened to Elvis Presley. I've listened to Mahalia Jackson, to Whitney Houston, Larnell Harris, Dionne Warwick, and Tennessee Ernie Ford. Now you have to admit, that's a big group, a wide-ranging group. And you may disagree with my conclusion, but Elvis was the best version of the song. Mahalia Jackson, the most inspirational. And the rest of them did okay. And they may be your favorite. Who made the mountains? Who made the trees? Who made the rivers flow to the sea? And who sends a rain when the earth is dry? Somebody bigger than you and I. Who made the flowers to bloom in the spring? And who made the song for the robins to sing? Who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long. He keeps you company. Oh. He keeps you company. Sometimes you're just to the end of your ropes and you look over and there's Jesus. He keeps you company. And with his love to guide you, he walks beside you just like he walks with me. You know that there's too much competition in churches and Christians. Oh, we're right and you're wrong. That's not true. The Lord's opened the door. He's opened the door. And he's invited all to come. And this notion of exclusivity is of the devil. He walks with me. He walks with you. He loves you. He loves me. Jesus died for all. The last verse says, when I'm weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I. Mark Lowry, this is more research for this message, you got to know. Mark Lowry is a Christian singer and comedian, and he said that he got a house and had some people over, and one of the ladies said, I'm an atheist. And he got excited. He said, this is great. This is wonderful. And he said, I locked all the doors because I didn't want her to get out. And then he said, you know what? You're an atheist. How wonderful that is. He said, quite honestly, I've never been able to have the faith that an atheist has, that everything just come together. And it was just there. He said, you know, I've thought about this, about if I take my watch and just take it apart. Now, when I was a kid, my grandpa brought me a watch, and I took it apart. Guess what? That watch never seen wholeness again because I couldn't put it back. I could take it apart, but I couldn't put it back together. Mark Lowry says, I have all these pieces, and I put it in a bag, and I shake it for 10,000 years. And he said, I think at the end of that, I just have a bunch of parts. He said, and to think that somewhere under this earth just had an explosion and everything come together is ludicrous. How can anyone believe that? And then he said, and then there's this great big question, how can I find God? He said, you don't have to look for it because God came to you, and he's looking for you. And then he went through some humor about Mary and Jesus. Now, you know that Mark Lowry wrote the song, Mary, Did You Know? That's your baby boy. And when you kiss the face of your baby boy, you kiss the face of God. Boy, there's great power in that. And that your baby boy would be your Savior. That's amazing. I want us to understand that God so loved the world, he gave his Son. He gave his Son. He sent Jesus to this earth. Jesus said, not my will, Father, but thine will be done. He committed himself to not only live a perfect life, but how many knows that's hard? Jesus had some human side too, but he rejected that. I wish more of us humans would reject some of that human side and submit to the will of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Debbie, would you come to the piano? I want to finish this. I thought, well, Lord, I don't know if this fits. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. In the book of Luke, and you're going to hear this again before the year's over, I promise you. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What's the very greatest part of all of God's creation and his power? Not so much that he keeps us day by day, night by night, season by season, hot, cold, hot, cold, but that he loved us so much he sent his Son looking for us. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising and saying, glory to God in the highest. Like the psalmist said, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was that the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Man is a free will, but the Lord is doing everything he can to reach out in this last day. It wouldn't surprise me if there's not something of a big catastrophe that happens somewhere, somehow, maybe even in our area. In October, we've had some shaking and we've had some fires. We've had things happen from our enemy and we've had things happen in nature. But I think the Lord is going to, before he comes again, is going to bless the church with a move of his Spirit like we've not seen in a while. Every time we gather, we feel God. And I believe that that's going to continue on. But what we need to know is God is in control. It always blesses me when the captain of an airplane comes on and says, welcome to our flight. We've got everything under control. Just sit back and relax. I feel at least he's happy and his life is up there with ours or hers. She he or she, whoever it is. I'm thankful that they know what to do and that they're in control. But God is so much bigger than an airplane pilot, and so much bigger than any human being, and he's in control. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your mercy. We've seen horror and tragedy this week, and the only thing that keeps us going is the hope and the knowledge that you are in control. People do terrible things, and it causes such heartache and heartbreak, and it tears up our lives, and it shakes everything we know. But our foundation is you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll touch everyone that's here this morning. Lord, there are so many different ways that our lives are impacted in this world, but every way is covered by your mercy and your grace. And I pray today that you will send that balm of Gilead, that comfort, that oil, that anointing, that ointment. Lord, put that on our spirits today, within our hearts and lives, and give comfort to each and every one. I pray, Lord, that your sustaining strength and power will be with us. We honor and give you glory. You're holy. You're holy. Hallelujah. I want to close the service a bit different. Would you stand? Is there anyone that needs prayer? I believe God can do anything. Sister Watson would like prayer. Anyone else need prayer for anything? Holy, 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 holy God. You are God of all, and you've created us. You know exactly the touch Sister Watson needs, and I pray that strength and that restoration and that healing now in Jesus' name. We will not fail to honor and give you glory for your touch. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Any others that need a touch? Brother Arden, we'll pray for you. We'll come to you. You don't have to go any further. Anyone else that want to pray, you're welcome to. Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Brother Arden with strength. And Lord God, that you'll help him in every part of his body. That you'll bring healing and restoration. We honor you, Lord, because you know us so well. And you know all about what's going on. I pray, Lord, for that miracle. The miracle, Jesus. The miracle. We know what status quo is, but we look for the mercy instead of what is. Mercy and healing and restoration and strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. I want us to just, you don't have to move or change from where you're at. But I want us to pray for Matt and Jan and Margie and Pete. They have a grandbaby that's in the hospital, and they have to bury their son and daughter. I saw about 3 minutes of one of the movies that I don't even, if it was, it wasn't Harry Potter, it was something about the elves and all that, I think. But I'm quoting a movie where a father says no parent should ever have to bury their children. And I know that's gotta hurt. But let's pray for them. Let's pray for strength and mercy. The whole city of Chowchilla is aware, and they were all so comforting. We went in two restaurants, And people, both, all the restaurants were letting them know, we care, we're sorry for your loss. That's amazing. If something happens to us in Campbell, nobody knows and maybe nobody cares. Let's pray that God will give them supernatural strength and comfort. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We are helpless. Our words are not enough. We love, we feel hurt, we want to help. There's nothing. But Jesus, you can provide a comfort of the Holy Spirit that we have no ability to give, but we reach out to you. We ask, Lord, for your comforting spirit to go to each one of these and many of the others of the family members. They're broken. Every thought they have of this accident brings them to tears. And I pray, God, that you'll bring us strength. Help them with the horrible job of burying their children and honoring their lives. And then after that, Lord, day by day, bring strength and help sustain them, Jesus. We're so thankful that no matter what life brings, you're God. And we have not only hope here, but throughout eternity. Thank you for loving us so much and giving so much and allowing us to be a part of you. Lord, we look forward to eternity, but we need help right now, and we're thankful for it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may do whatever you want to do.
I think it was just a few weeks after that sermon that Ellie came in with Matt and Jan, walked in holding their hands. And so, I mean, we're thankful that we have somebody bigger than you and I. We saw that miracle with her that continues with her. Like my mom said, she's thriving, and he is able. And he's able to sustain each and every one of us and to address each of the needs that we have in our lives, the needs that we've brought before him already today, as well as, you know, continue to bring my dad forward and in strength, and we want to see him back here where I'm standing. And so with that, yes, Sister Jennifer. Kurt Vasquez. I drove home from a lot of practices at Westmont over the years. You know, it just goes to show that, and like the sermon said, you know, anything can happen. And every breath we take is a gift from the Lord. But we can hold his family up in prayer, the Vasquez family. And we'll close in prayer with that as well. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence, God. The message we heard was a message we heard in September. And yet, Lord Jesus, the message is so true, and your presence is new every day, every opportunity we have to be in your presence, Lord. We're so blessed. And we thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you for hearing our needs, ministering to the needs. We thank you for the praise reports that we receive, Lord God. And we just ask that you continue to sustain each and every one of us in strength and peace and love, Lord God, this week. Can we lift up my dad? We thank you for the restoration that you have already brought about in his body and pray that you continue that in greater and greater ways, Lord Jesus, in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come. And we lift up the Vasquez family, Lord Jesus, who has suffered the loss of a young man and grief that we can't imagine, Lord Jesus. And we don't know them, Lord Jesus, but we reach out to them in love, Lord Jesus, and ask that you bless their family, that you lift them up, Lord God, that you strengthen them in any way possible to help them through their immeasurable grief, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you go with us each and every one of us, Lord God. We thank you for your message today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your strength. And just pray that you bless and go with each and every one of us this week. In your holy name we pray, Father God. Amen.